Welcome back to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And this is part two of Fractured Fairy Tales, The Tribulation. And last week when we left off, we were talking about the abominations that have made the house desolate, and specifically the book The Shack, which has just left Christianity in a state of confusion and the likes thereof. We're going to pick up where we left off last week.
And this is just a commentary on where we are today as a people, you know, this and all the peace gospel coming out of Rick Warren, and the must stand for the, you know, must support what is perceived as Israel, which is a counterfeit by John Hagee and Christians United for Israel. And we've got the whole dominionist, we're going to take back the seven mountains of influence for God. We're going to help God, and we're going to take back the seven mountains of influence. And these are the three main legs of apostasy in the church today, and it's all come about by what started, you know, almost 70 years ago now, as these New Age doctrines crept in and have taken over the minds of the professing Christians. And it's ironic that these thirds, always thirds, there's always three parts. Babylon is divided into thirds. Two parts cut off, one part brought through the fire and refined. You know, it's our call to find our place in this and be accounted outside of those thirds, because we don't want to be one of the thirds. We want to be, you know, in Ezekiel's beard, the few that were tucked into his skirt. You know, that's what we want to be. We don't want to be part of the thirds. You know, we want to be a part of Babylon. You know, the message is to come out of Babylon, and this is what we've dealt with. The time of Jacob's trouble, we taught that clearly a couple weeks ago. It's the time of the tribulation that we've been in, time of the indignation of the Lord. The Lord has poured out his anger upon the land. And this is not the Lord that's taught in these harlot churches, but this is the Lord. It's not about everybody making it. It's about God separating out a people unto himself. And we can't dispute what we're taught in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Again, I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the Olivet shows from a few months back. All this has been is a process over the last couple of years. This stuff all coming together. And I've just been teaching what the Lord's been showing me. And there's not many people teaching this. I don't know anybody's teaching it. I mean, we've got in the truth community, whatever that has become now, in the church, you know, the ones who, you know, there's a, you know, movement to claim remnant. You know, even the term remnant has been counterfeited and been corrupted. And, you know, we just hope and pray that these people that are seeking the Lord, seeking the truth, that he will continue to reveal it to him, but it is so hidden. But we take a look at Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Well, you know, we've thought clearly this has happened. This is where we are right now. We are in the period after the tribulation, or close to it. You know, we're probably still in the tribulation, you know. But it's this is the period of time Matthew's talking about. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's what I just got done describing. The tribulation that came forward since 1948, and all the mind control, deception, false doctrine in the churches that have completely leavened the loaf. The whole loaf is leavened. And, you know, the sun and the moon is the gospel in the church. You know, the sun is the gospel darkened. The moon doesn't reflect the sun, the light of the sun anymore. That's the church. And the stars fall from heaven. That's the fallen Christians. That's the apostasy. That's the great apostasy. And the power of heaven shall be shaken. This is where we are. This is what we're doing. This is where we're in right now. This is why there's just so much confusion out there. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So this is the second coming. This is the man-child. This is the Lord inhabiting his people. The cloud of witnesses. The Lord Jesus Christ inhabiting his people. These are those that we talked about back in Daniel. Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. You know, and the firmament is the connection between heaven and earth. And they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. You know, this is what's happening right now, and it's growing like a snowball. One by one, the Lord's gathering his elect from the four winds. And it's happening right before our eyes. Because, you know, we see that absolutely in continuation of Matthew 24. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Well, that sound of a trumpet is us right now. I'm one of these trumpets going on. You're hearing this trumpet right now on this podcast. An angel is a messenger. That word angel is messenger. And this is it, you know. We're the messengers here, folks. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And it's also the voices in Revelation chapter 14 that are saying, "Fear God." You know, the ones that are telling people to, you know, believe the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom that we saw earlier in Matthew 24. When this gospel is preached, then the end comes. And see, that's what's going on now. The true gospel is being preached into this gross darkness. And that's what God is using to gather his elect. We'll start over again. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So what's happening right now, through this time of trouble, this time of great trouble that we've all lived through, our lifetime, we have been born and grew up during the tribulation, folks. And yes, this is shocking to those who are clinging to this harlot church system, but this is what Scripture is teaching. This is what it all gets down to now. Those who make a covenant with death and hell are in agreement that when the overflowing scourge comes, which is what I'm talking about, the overflowing scourge is the deception, the flood, the overflowing. These are all metaphors of the flood that comes upon the land in the last days. It says in Daniel that in the end will be a flood and war. This is the Gog-Magog War. We're in the Gog-Magog War. The Gog-Magog War is the war of truth and lies fought with our spiritual armor that Gog-Magog has, armor, in Ezekiel chapter 38. You see that clearly. And it's the war fought in heavenly realms, and it's against God's remnant elect, against the religious system. The beast that was not, shall ascend. The beast that was killed Christ, the very Messiah that they were waiting for, visited them. They knew not the time of their visitation, and they ended up killing their own Messiah. That's the beast that was. The deadly wound inflicted at the cross, Satan was conquered. But at the end, Satan is bound. He was bound in the bottomless pit during the New Testament era, allowing the gospel to come forward. And in the end, the bottomless pit is opened, and Satan is loosed from his prison. Why? Because the gospel restraining power of the gospel message is taken out of the way. When the sacrifice ceases, when the true gospel of repentance and laying one's life down and losing one's life as a spiritual sacrifice is forsaken, that restraining power is taken out of the way, allowing Satan to deceive the nations again, to continue a short period, a short space, it says, to continue to deceive the nations at the level he deceived before the cross. This is what we're living in right now. It's this period of time known as Jacob's trouble, great trouble, the indignation of the Lord, the Lord's anger poured out without mixture, and we're in it. the cup of his wrath, the wine of the cup of his wrath. The wine is the false doctrine, the lies that are just taken over. And while the very lies that are being taught concerning this event I'm teaching right now, today, is the wine of the cup. So the irony the Lord uses here is so amazing, so brilliant, and it just, you know, we continue to just you know, be astonished, like John claimed when he saw her. You know, you look at a passage of scripture like in Revelation chapter 17, when Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. So here's John, a metaphor, being carried away into the wilderness by the Spirit, which is what we're called to do today. We're called out of the harlot church, into the wilderness, to come out of her, my people. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was written the name, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And here we are. This is it. I mean, this is what we're living right now, you know. And John was astonished at what he saw. Why? Because it was amazing. It was hidden in mystery. This is Mystery Babylon. It's hidden. It's hidden from those who without eyes to see. And it goes right back to where we started the show with 1 Corinthians, where, you know, the Lord's strange act. The Lord, hiding his truth, that the wisdom of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So here we are. You know, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This has all come to the full, is this mystery that the Lord allows only his people to see. It's been unveiled. And it's being unveiled on a one-by-one basis. And as God's people are coming to the point of realizing something's wrong, those that are truly seeking the truth, regardless of what they get, and that can't be confused with taking my version of truth, the truth that I want, so that it doesn't disrupt my lifestyle too much, but I love Jesus. Well, you know, that doesn't work that way. Sorry, but this is the problem, and this is the message that's promoted in these harlot box churches, that you can come here and confess Jesus, get baptized right in front of everybody, and you're saved. Well, that's not the gospel. That's not the message. That's not the message of salvation. The true gospel requires the loss of our life. We lose our life for the sake of the gospel. We enter into covenant with God. It's a spiritual covenant. And it's a two-part covenant. It's a relationship. And it's clearly taught in Scripture. I would encourage everyone to listen to our brother Bill Johnson on Divinely Inspired Scripture. I'm going to put links to both of these websites on this show. This is Christian 101 here tonight, folks, dispelling the fractured fairy tales of modern-day Christian doctrine. And this one is a very important understanding that has to be taught. We have to realize what we've all been through. We've all been through the tribulation, the everyone walking this earth today has their lifetime has been through the tribulation, and it's the overcomers that make it, the ones that overcome Jezebel, that overcome the synagogue of Satan, that overcome the second death, are the ones who make it. This is the message. This is the truth. This is the everlasting gospel. And this is the message that needs to spread, because as this spreads, it will usher in the Lord's return that is already underway, because he's returning in his saints, and it's already happening. Are you a part of it or not? That's the only question. And if you love the truth more than you love the lies, you're going to be a part of it. But if you are clinging to anything in this life, the Lord will not mess with you until you're ready to let it go. He is long-suffering, and his hand is stretched out still, meaning that he's always able to receive you to a point. But there is a time in it that it seems when it's too late, when they seek death and can't find it. They seek to die to their life here, and they can't. Scripture talks about it. It's still mysterious. Many things have not opened up to us yet, but we're just running the race, walking at God's pace as he is, has us, his true saints, in his yoke. Take my yoke, it is light. And that's his rest. That's his Sabbath rest. And that's the reason all this has happened, because man has forsaken his Sabbath rest. And on a massive scale, it's the conquest of world wars that came to, conclusion, I'll say, in 1947-48, after World War II, when these beast powers, these final kingdoms of the earth, manifest into this conglomeration of capitalism, communism, fascism, more signatures of these identities, to this new world order, this man-made utopian society based on the flesh, based on man's ability to build and climb, build a wall with untempered mortar, and build his Tower of Babel to, climb into heaven another way. But, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But Jesus is the cornerstone of New Jerusalem, the true house, and it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And we, as lively stones, are built into the walls. This is what's happening. The Lord is building his house that has been torn down by deception, that one stone's left upon another, but the Lord rebuilds his house, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, as it says in Zechariah. And this is the Lord's plan. Like it or not, you are called to get on board or not. And those who understand among the people will instruct many. But as Daniel told us that these words that he wrote will be sealed till the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end. And the Lord is opening up these words. He's giving understanding to his people. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, I'll reiterate and close. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And these are talking about the church. This is all talking about the people in the church, the wicked in the church, the transgressors that come to the full that will not understand. They sleep a perpetual sleep, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 51. But the dry bones in the valley, the Lord breathes life back into them. And this is what's happening right now. As these dead bodies lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt are being having life breathed back into them. And they're ascending. They're ascending to heaven. They're being redeemed from the earth. And as this happens, those that observe you ascending, I have great fear. And I know many of us, we all can testify that people are scared to death of us these days. They don't want to hear this truth because it offends them, and it comes against their life that they've grown so accustomed to, this
Those who do wickedly against the covenant will be corrupted by flatteries. This is what we've lived through. This is Jacob's trouble, the time of flatteries, the time of the message that you're entitled to that $400,000 home, and you're entitled to that $60,000 SUV, and you're entitled to go into the become a slave in the debt system, the system of usury. That is the complete type and shadow of what happened at the time of the first Babylonian captivity, as they forsaken their rest, they forsaken their resting place. But there's really no bigger single manifestation of flatteries on the scene today than the corrupt false gospel that has now taken over evangelical Christianity. And the message, the notion that we utter a sinner's prayer and we're washed in the blood. No repentance, no laying down one's life, no picking up one's cross and bearing it. The gospel that Jesus did it all, and that when God sees us, he sees Jesus, not us, not our sin. And this is the beginning of the end, because this is the false gospel that has allowed this evil to prevail. It's truly the restrainer. The restraining message of the true gospel has been diminished to no effect, which has now allowed Satan to be unleashed from his prison, unleashed from the bottomless pit. And this is what we're living in our generation here. And the problem is that this false gospel is the gospel that says that Jesus loves us regardless, no conditions, and it's absolutely error, because salvation is conditional. It's conditional on obedience, on surrender, on entering into the covenant, allowing God to write that covenant on our heart, to be born again. And whatever you're doing, whatever a person's doing out there, if they're not born again, they're missing it. If they're not regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and this is the problem, because the churches today are full of unregenerate people. They're full of people who are being corrupted by flatteries, people with itching ears, heaping upon themselves teachers. And it's just all pure irony, because this notion of the false gospel proclaiming that we are able to be saved in our sins, and we're able to continue in our sin, is at the heart of the apostasy, the heart of this period that we're describing, the period that the church calls the tribulation. But when we look to Scripture, we see references to the Lord's fierce anger, the indignation of the Lord. Folks, this is what we have to realize. This is the period of time that we are in. We are in the fierce anger of the Lord. Well, I'm going to start running through some Scripture here, shedding light on exactly what the Lord is saying about this, about his indignation, his fierce anger, a notion that is just so foreign to the Christian church because of these flatteries, these lies that are controlling, the pulpits. But Jeremiah 12:10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyards. They've trodden my portion underfoot. My portion, that's the remnant. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour the one end of the land, even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves in pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. See, this is the fierce anger of the Lord. This is what we're dealing with right now. This is not the Jesus in the harlot church. This is the Lord, the goodness and severity of God. Consider the severity of God, because the Lord is angry. The Lord has come to the point where he has passed judgment upon his house. Why? For the reason of separation, that this is what this is about. It's not about peace. It's about separation. God's separating out a people unto himself. And this deception, this wrath, this fierce anger, This is the threshing floor. Are you able to stand against the wrath of God, the wrath poured out without mixture? But how does this finish up in Jeremiah chapter 12? Behold, I pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear in Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy the nation, saith the Lord. This is scripture. This is the context of scripture with what the Lord is telling us about his time of wrath, his time of anger. Are you able to stand against the wrath of God poured out without mixture? The wrath of God that we have lived in, everyone listening tonight in their generation has experience the wrath of God. It's deception. It is not what is being taught by the harlot church. The fear of nuclear bombs and terrorists and economic collapse. I submit these are smoke screens. Satan's shell game, taking us away from the true focus, the focus that the house of God has been taken over by strangers. Strangers have come into thy sanctuaries. They have forsaken their heritage. And this is the absolute figurehead of the apostasy, is the false loyalty to counterfeit Israel, which is a forsaking of one's heritage. As we forsake the heritage as the seed of Abraham, the Israel of God, the commonwealth of Israel, that Ephesians chapter 2 says, if you are not born again, you are not part of the commonwealth of Israel. What is that? How can that be? That's not what my pastors taught me. But this is what Satan's done. He's effectively separated Jew and Gentile, done away with the finished work on the cross. But this is what we are to overcome. But with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Welcome back to Sound Doctrine. Before the break, we were taking a look at the fierce anger of the Lord, the wrath of God. Are you able to stand? Now, I would presume that many, maybe most of you listening are used to working with the electronic Bibles, the e-swords and whatever. I wouldn't know what to do without them anymore. But on this topic that we've opened up here, as far as the urgency or the immediacy of it, you know, it's just absolutely astonishing. As when we really drill down and study this topic, known as the Lord's anger, the Lord's fierce anger, the indignation of the Lord, the Lord's fury. Well, I would just and compel you to do this, to type in those words into your electronic Bible, your electronic King James
Bible. Type in fury. Type in indignation. Type in fierce anger. And you see this recurring theme. But I just went ahead and just grabbed some key references that I'm going to open up here right now. We'll take a look. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Well, we know this is clearly talking about our present-day situation. O Assyrian, the Assyrian is the type and shadow of the false teacher in the harlot church, in the house of Israel, which is the church. O Assyrian, the Assyrian invasion, in the Old Testament, is the type and shadow of the Assyrian invasion of false teachers the Lord allows into his own house. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 25, and yet for a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction. This is the pattern. The Lord sends his anger, his indignation, into his own house for a purpose. You know, we saw that last week in Ezekiel. We'll probably get to that here. I'm pretty sure I have that pulled up in these notes. I'm going to just keep going here now. And then we'll see where this goes, and I'll comment, you know, as I go along. They come from a far country. This is Isaiah 13:5. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Well, what are the weapons of his indignation? It's the sword. It's the arrows, the fiery darts, you know, shot by the devil. It's the deception. It's the sword that comes out of his mouth. His lips, his mouth was as smooth as butter, but his tongue is a wielding sword. These are the weapons of the Lord's anger. And the thing we have to understand, we have to realize, that as I'm reading through these verses, we have to realize this has all happened to us. This has already run. It's already happened in our lifetime. The Lord has allowed this to infiltrate his own home, his own house. I'm sorry. But the Lord's anger. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. It's Isaiah 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Now in this harlot, apostate, abomination, calling itself the Christian church, it's teaching that this is a coming wrath, a coming judgment, not realizing that it's already happened. This whole thing has already run. This whole scenario has already played out as the Lord has allowed this false teaching, this false doctrine to infiltrate his own house. And what the thing is, and we have to understand the metaphors, this is something I picked up on a long time ago. And I get these things from the Lord. Certainly not bragging or in any type of boastful pride whatsoever here. But I'm just saying the Lord has blessed me and trusted me with some insights. And I've gotten a hold of some things just out of nowhere. I know the Lord has just shown it to me. And I realized a long time ago, probably, you know, 2-3 years ago, that in the last days, men will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Well, that verse that I've heard for 30 years, preached in a church, just exploded in my mind. And I realized what it was saying. It was talking about wind, and it was talking about tribulation. Because the tribulation is a storm. The reference to the storm, the whirlwind, you know, all the picture words the Lord you know, gives us concerning his tribulation. And at the same time, the harlot church is teaching that this is some future event coming down, you know, based on doom and gloom and nuclear bombs and, you know, earthquakes and in 2012, and now it's World War III, and what's going to be next? Epidemics, you know. The thing is that the church doesn't realize that this stuff is all spiritual. It's all metaphors for what's already happened. I'm going to keep going here, jumping ahead now in Isaiah to chapter 51. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Okay, you with me here? You see, does that sound familiar? Babylon is, you know, was a golden cup, and we see that that the wine of the cup of his wrath is poured out without mixture in Revelation. Well, this is what's happening. Isaiah 51:22. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, thy God that pleases the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Now see, that's an encouraging verse, because all this references that we're talking about to the Lord's anger, his fury, it does come to an end. So make no mistake of that. This does come to an end, and there's a purpose for it, that the Lord's fury can come to a conclusion. As it said in Ezekiel chapter 5, we saw that in the first part of the show, that his fury is satisfied. And this is just so contrary to what's taught in the harlot church of this false Jesus, this false God that people are trusting in. See, it's all irony, because this false gospel, this false Jesus, is this fury. It is this fierce anger, this judgment the Lord has allowed to come into his house. And this is false doctrine that does his separating. This is his threshing floor. I'm going to continue on. Isaiah 63:3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there were none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. Isaiah 63:6, and I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to the earth. This is what's happened. The Lord, his fury has caused the Christians to be drunk. And what are they drunk on? They're drunk on false doctrine. They're drunk on lies. Isaiah 66:15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. You know, this is just, it sounds like I'm being so narrow-minded and so, fixated. But this, I'm just pulling out a portion of these verses that I'm coming up with here concerning the Lord's anger, his indignation, his fury. This is the theme. This is the theme of our time, of our day. The trouble. This is also trouble. Jacob's trouble. Now, I just, all I knew to do here now was to just pull out some random verses, trying to get this point across. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep driving this home. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your heart. This is the blindness that comes off of a heart that's circumcised. When a heart is circumcised and the covenant is written on our heart, we're born again. Our eyes are opened. The covering is removed from our hearts. This is what the Lord is calling us to do. I'm going to repeat it again. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, let my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doing. See, this is all now. It's all happened. This is the fury of the Lord that we've experienced in our lifetime. And it's for the purpose of separation, as God's people are able to stand against this fury, against the pestilence, against the famine. Not for bread or water. The famine is for hearing of the word of God, as it says in Amos. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and mine fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. It's talking about right now. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. This is the heathen. This is the Gentile. This is the fullness of the Gentile. The when the Gentile comes to the full, when the transgressor comes to the full, it's all talking about the same thing. It has come against Jacob, has eaten up Jacob, caused the church to go into apostasy. There's Jeremiah 21:12. We hear, O house of David, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in this morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. This is addressed to the house of David. The house of David. It's the seed line. It's the Abraham seed by faith. It's the man child. It's God's people. This is who it's addressed to. Jeremiah 23:19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. This is the tribulation. This is Jacob's trouble. This is the time of the Lord's wrath that has been poured out without mixture. And are we able to stand? Jeremiah 25:15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. There's that cup. This is the cup of Babylon, the cup of deception that causes drunkenness. Jeremiah 30. This is the in the portion of scripture literally, you know, absolutely teaching Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. We jump from Jeremiah into Lamentations, written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is lamenting. And he hath violent, this is Jeremiah 2:6. He has violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed his place of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and has despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. Are you kidding me? Do you have any idea the heaviness of a verse like that? He has despised in indignation of his anger the king and the priest. This is the royal priesthood the Lord is coming against. It's just so humbling as we, even as remnant believers, you know, are trusting that we are in the Lord's rest and we are protected. We are in our chambers with our doors shut behind us, you know. But are we? Are we? Ezekiel chapter 5, this is what started the whole show last week. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. This is the hard thing to understand, that this fury that the Lord pours out, he will be comforted by this fury. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken. It is my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. And I hate to, you know, be a storyteller, but it's like I think about how just, you know, you hear the stories, and I can't even really say. Well, I can say that, you know, I'm an auto mechanic, and I've been, you know, I've had a time or two when my fury has raged against an automobile. I couldn't figure out a problem, and I threw a wrench. And I threw a wrench and broke something, and I tell you, I almost would feel better when I broke something, because my fury would be satisfied. There's something going on with that here, and how the Lord's anger poured out against his apostate, stiff-necked people is satisfied. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 15, so it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and astonishment unto the nations. They are round about thee. When I shall execute judgments in thee, in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Ezekiel 6:12. He that is far off shall die at the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. So this is accomplishing. And there's a finality to all this. That is the good news that we have, as this all comes to an end. And, you know, we've been teaching now diligently for the last couple of months the type and shadows, the patterns of this Babylonian captivity, the days of the siege, as it says in Ezekiel chapter 5. It comes to an end. It does come to an end. It says the Lord's anger is accomplished. And in type, it's connected to the when the transgressors come to the full. It's talking about the same thing. That this indignation of the Lord does come to a conclusion. And this is when the Spirit is poured out. When the latter rain Spirit is poured out. During this time of rage, of fury, it says that it rains not in the days of their prophecy. You know, this is the time that we're in. Is this house is left desolate for a purpose, and there's also a sense of satisfying the Lord's anger during the time of desolation, as it says in Leviticus chapter 26, that I will get my Sabbath. I will cause my land to rest. You know, whether his people are willing to honor the Sabbath rest or not, the Lord will cause his land to rest. And this is what he's doing right now with this deception in an abstract way. This is the desolation he's allowed into his house is allowing his anger to be satisfied. I'm going to continue on in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 8. Now will I surely pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish my anger. You see this again? He's accomplishing his anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. Therefore, this is Ezekiel 8:18, therefore will I also deal in fury, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Ezekiel 9:8, and it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? This is Ezekiel, just lamenting before the Lord, just like Jeremiah did, about the residue of Israel. He's even lamenting about the remnant. Ezekiel 13:13, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, a great hailstorm in my fury to consume it. You with me here? A stormy wind. What is a stormy wind? It's every wind of doctrine. It's every wind of doctrine that has caused the church to wander to and fro throughout the smorgasbord of Christian apostasy. Continue on in Ezekiel 21:31. I will pour out my indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men and skillful to destroy. See, he's delivering them into the hand of brutish men. This is the apostate Christian church. These are the apostate ministries that are flourishing today as the Lord's anger is being poured out, is being satisfied. Ezekiel 22:31, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. The Lord is just, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. The Lord is giving them just what they want. They have itching ears, and the Lord's given them everything that they want to itch their ears. Teachers. Ezekiel 36:18, wherefore I pour out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon my land, for their idols wherewith they have polluted it. And this is all metaphor for today, that we have polluted the sanctuaries of the Lord with our idols, our false gods, anything we run to comfort, anything we run to that is not the living God is an idol. Ezekiel 38:18, and it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall come up in my face. See this? This is Gog Magog. This is the war. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 51, a rumor. There shall be a rumor and in the last days. And in Matthew chapter 24, it says, there will be wars and rumors of war. Well, this rumor that Jeremiah is talking about at the destruction of Babylon is the rumor of the Gog-Magog war That is the war of deception, the spiritual war fought with spiritual armor. Gog Magog in Ezekiel chapter 38 has armor, just like Ephesians chapter 6 armor. The armor in Ezekiel 38 is missing one thing, conspicuously missing: truth. The Gog Magog army, their armor has no truth. Their loins are not girt with truth. This is the sign that what the Lord's people have. We have our armor, our loins girt with truth. And the full armor of God that we learned in second grade begins with our loins girt with truth. And how does it end? Having done all, to stand. See, this is what we're to do. We're to stand. And we're to stand against this wrath of God, because this is what I'm talking about right now. And I've only touched upon it. I'm telling you, you type in the word wrath, you type in the word fury, you type in the word indignation, you type in the word fierce anger, and see this Lord, the theme going on here is the Lord is coming against the apostasy in his own house, and how he's doing it. He is doing it with false doctrine that he's allowed to come in. The false doctrine, the false gospel that has allowed the land to become desolate, the spiritual land. Continue on, Micah chapter 5, verse 15. I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Now, who's the heathen? Well, the heathen is the Gentile, the nation, the flight of locusts that the Lord allows to enter his house, the strangers in the sanctuary. And this is what this vengeance, this anger is coming upon. What does Nahum say? Chapter 1, verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Okay, you hear that? Enter into thy chamber. David had plenty to say in Psalm 69. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Psalms 28:49. He cast upon the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them, evil messengers. You hear me? This is what the Lord has allowed. He's allowed evil messengers to come into his house, to cast upon them fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, trouble. Psalms 102:10, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. And in the last verse I'm going to just use tonight, the fear of being redundant and monotonous, but this is the scripture. And I've only touched a portion of these scriptures referring to the Lord's anger. But what do we know? The verse that we hold tight to at Sound Doctrine, week in and week out. My admonition to you, the remnant in the wilderness, seeking the Lord, seeking protection, seeking truth. Isaiah chapter 26:20. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, till the indignation be overpassed. I discovered that verse about 4 years ago. And it has just continued to grow and grow in understanding and wisdom as the Lord's used it in my life to teach me. And as I continue on in my walk in this wilderness journey, Isaiah chapter 26 has become more and more of a foundational verse for me. As I continually pray that I am in my chamber, that I am safe inside the truth. I'm abiding in Christ, abiding in the truth. That I know that I'm protected against the indignation of the Lord. For how long? For that little season, for the little moment, as it were, as it says. And this is where we're all called to stand and find refuge. We don't make lies our refuge, and falsehoods we don't hide ourselves. For we are abiding in Christ, abiding in the truth. This is where the Lord's protection is.
But we have to identify with Daniel. But go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And this is the call. So my prayer and hope tonight is that we could dispel the fractured fairy tale of the coming tribulation. And it's already happened, folks. And immediately after this tribulation, the sun and the moon are darkened, and this is what we're living through right now. But God's people do shine as the firmament. You know, they shall be wise, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is us. This is our call. This is where we need to be. We need to find our place in this scripture and stand and, you know, have our loins girt with truth and have our full armor of God on that we learned about in second grade Sunday school. So it's time to use it, folks, in a real way, because this battle is not fought on earth. It's fought in heavenly realms. And we're living it. And that, I want to say goodbye. I thank everyone for listening, for encouragement. Until next time, this is Chris Ardern from Sound Doctrine saying goodbye.